Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Story time.
A couple months ago, I was camping out of my mom and stepdad's RV camper on BLM land in Nevada. Where I was parked was about 20 miles from any houses or anything. While I was out there, I got snowed in. It was about 3 feet of snow, so I sent out a message to my mom telling her what was going on. That day I spent digging snow out from around the RV so that I felt like I was doing something. I spent the whole day out there digging snow out. As the sun was going down, I had about a 25 square foot section from around the door. I was using a spade. It was very slow going, and a path that led about 80 feet. I was at the end of the path still digging when the sun went down. I decided to work a little more, and while I was digging I heard what sounded like someone walking through the snow. I looked up and there was a figure of a pretty tall guy ahead of me coming out of the tree line about 200 feet from me. If I had to guess, I would say about 6 foot 5 or so. Anyway, he was trudging through the snow towards me. Considering that we were in very cold weather and very far from anyone or anywhere, my first thought was, oh crap, this guy needs help, so I called out to him, hey, you okay out here? And as soon as I finished that sentence, the figure broke into a full-blown sprint. I immediately turned around and sprinted down the path back to my RV. When I got to the door, I looked back and this man had not only crossed the clearing through 3 feet of snow, but he was now sprinting down the path I had dug. I got into the RV, slammed the door and locked it behind me. I grabbed my gun and moved to the back side of the RV. I could hear the man circling my RV, so I shouted, I have a gun. If you don't leave now, I will shoot you. After I yelled that, there was 2 or 3 insanely loud bang sounds on the side of the RV. I heard the man start walking toward the front end, but I couldn't hear past that. I stayed in the bathroom at the rear of the RV and ended up falling asleep. In the morning I woke up and I took the gun and went outside. I could see paths leading from the tree like, circling my RV, and back out to the tree line. I also learned what those loud bangs were. The generator cover on the RV was kicked in. I recently told my friend about what happened to me up there because he said he is planning on going up there for the weekend, and when I finished the story he told me to post it here. Before I begin, I want to clarify that I'm a 16-year-old male. About 3 years ago, I was in Virginia visiting my family over the summer. We were right outside the DC area and staying in a two-story house near the freeway. On the other side of the freeway was a forest, so my mom, her boyfriend Eric, and I were all staying with Eric's parents. We had brought some night vision binoculars and decided that tonight was the perfect time to use them. So after dinner, we geared up and headed out. We passed under the freeway and headed into the woods. When we got about 5 minutes into the forest, we set down our bag and took out our binoculars. My mom looked around with them for quite a while, seeing a few squirrels here and there. She got tired of them and eventually passed them on to me. I looked around for a while, being careful not to look at the freeway for fear of being blinded. I spotted something behind a tree, about 50 feet to our left. I concentrated on it, trying to figure out what it was. It looked like a pale, bald, anorexic man looking straight at us from behind a tree. I felt a bit uneasy, but I was hesitant to believe it was really there. I asked Eric to take a look just in case. To my despair, he saw it too and described it much the same way I did. Now, Eric is a former amateur boxer, and I trained MMA almost every day, but neither one of us wanted to stick around with that thing. We started heading back to the house, crossing under the freeway. We took another look behind us as a car came by, and all three of us saw glowing eyes lit up by the headlights on the other side of the freeway. We said, "F that," and headed back to the house. When we got back, Eric's parents were asleep, and my mom and Eric went upstairs to the guest room. There was only one guest room, so I had the couch downstairs. I was a little too excited after seeing the thing in the woods, so I ended up staying up all night. Around 3 a.m., I was watching TV, and I started hearing footsteps above me. I immediately remembered our earlier encounter, and I panicked a little. I tried to calm down and tell myself it was just one of the dogs or maybe someone who couldn't sleep. However, I kept hearing the footsteps for a while, actually, until I heard a doorknob jiggle. I found it weird that they were trying to open a locked door, but I tried to ignore it. They stopped walking around for a few more minutes, and then it was quiet again. I stayed up until the sun started coming up, and then I passed out. My mom woke me up, and I remembered the footsteps from the night before. I described what happened and asked if one of them got up at any time. She said no, and I thought it must have been one of the dogs. That is until she told me the room above me is the office. No one was in the office, and the door stays locked at night. My heart sank as I pieced it all together. I don't know if it was that thing for sure, but I think it was. I've done a lot of research since then, trying to figure out what that was that night. I found two creatures that seemed to match it. I think it was either a skinwalker or possibly a wendigo. Whichever one it was, I'm just thankful that door was locked because I know I wouldn't be able to fight that thing no matter how tough I am. So I was talking to my buddy today and he told me a story that happened to him around September of last year. He was driving around 9:30 to 10 at night on a kind of secluded road in a suburb by the city of Huntsville. There are woods on both sides of this road. As he was driving, he thinks he sees a deer heading towards him. As he sees it more clearly, it turns out it's on two legs, has antlers, and is running towards him. He nopes the F out of there. He told me he hasn't driven down that road since then. What do you guys think this could be? I doubt it could be a skinwalker or a wendigo, as it's just too far south. I don't know of any legends around North Alabama that match his description. My buddy said he'll sketch it for me in about an hour, so once he does, I'll update the post with the sketch. I I grew up in Northern California and my family would often go camping in the Tahoe area, Shasta area and in the San Juan Islands in Washington. We weren't avid campers, but we would often spend a week or two in the woods in campgrounds or on BLM land. Once I was a teenager, I would bring friends along with us and we would set up a separate campsite a few hundred feet away for some privacy. This particular incident happened in the Mount Shasta area when I was around 14 years old. We were on state or BLM land, I'm not sure which, but it was not a proper campsite by any means. My parents decided to rent a small RV with enough space for them to sleep in, knowing we would set up our own camp anyways. After setting up camp and sharing dinner with the family, they turned in and my two buddies and I walked back to our area and started up the campfire. One of my friends had smuggled a few cigarettes which we choked on and pretended to get high from. Around 12:30 or so, we decided to go to our large 6-plus person tent and settle in for the night. We were in an open field with no trees around us for around 75 yards. There was a dry riverbed on one end of the field and my parents had their RV parked in the woods on the other side. We laid in our sleeping bags, unable to fall asleep, talking about the hot girls at our school and making jokes. Around 2 a.m. we were quieting down and basically asleep, watching some Family Guy on one of our phones when we heard a rattling sound outside the tent. It sounded like a very sick person with a really bad cough trying to breathe. I looked at my friends who bolted awake in their sleeping bags. One of them reached for a flashlight but froze when he heard the rattling breathing sound right behind him. The rattling started to circle the tent rapidly, only making a slight sound as it ran through the grass. It was moving far too fast to be a human and didn't have the weight to its footsteps that a bear or larger canine would have. Eventually, the rattling turned to panting and the creature walked a bit away from the tent and seemed to settle in not far off. My most courageous friend decided to get up and check it out, so he carefully opened the tent to pop his head out. As soon as his head was completely out of the flap, the panting and rattling sound stopped completely, leaving an uncanny silence you could almost taste. I whispered to my friend asking, "What is it?" But he waved his hand in a shut-up motion. After a minute or two, we heard a deep growl and hissing sound and my friend jumped back and instantly zipped up the tent. He dove into his sleeping bag and covered his head, and my friend and I came closer to quietly ask what he saw. The growling stopped, but we could tell the animal was still nearby. My friend refused to speak to us other than saying its eyes, while never removing his head from his bag. We must have fallen asleep at some point, and when we woke up around 7 a.m. the friend who had poked his head out of the tent was gone. We went outside to find him staring at the coals of the fire with a glazed expression on his face. He only responded to us with one-word answers for the rest of the trip, and I'm not sure if he slept at all. A few weeks after the trip, he came over to my house, hugged me and just sobbed. He was uncontrollably crying and shaking and speaking unintelligibly. I sat him down and brought him a Gatorade. He pulled himself together and I asked what was going on. What he told me stuck with me, but the way he told me I will never forget. With an almost trance-like way of speaking, he said, "I haven't slept more than 1 hour a night since I saw that thing. He won't leave me alone and I think he's going to kill me." He started crying again and I asked him, "What did you see? Who is he?" He told me with a shaky voice it was a dog twice as tall as me, standing on its hind legs. It had a grin on its face and red eyes that almost looked like they glowed in the moonlight. He growled at me while looking me dead in the eyes and then sat down like you and I would on a chair. He wasn't growling though, he was laughing. I didn't really believe him, but because of how shaken up he was, I just sat there and told him nothing was coming for him. When my mom got home, she thought my friend was physically ill because of the look on his face, and called his parents at home. They picked him up and told us he had not slept through the night since they got back and that they were going to the doctors in the morning. He stayed home from the first few days of our summer camp but finally came, but he was sedated because of the medication he was on. He seemed like he was only half with us during the day, and right after dinner he would take 3 or 4 pills and pass out. We stayed friends and he eventually got off the pills, but I never spoke with him about that night again. He works as an Army Ranger now and I only see him once a year around the holidays. He was always the funny, loud one growing up, but now he had become a somewhat reclusive and mysterious person when he was home. He doesn't have a wife or kids and I don't think he wants to. I hope that creature doesn't bother him anymore. As a teenager, my friends and I used to do all sorts of stupid things to scare each other or to try and contact spirits or ghosts and whatnot. If we saw it on TV, we tried to find it or summon it, to say the least. You know, the typical just messing around kind of things that teenagers do. One night, we were out on my friend's pool deck behind his house. He has this 1 acre plot behind his place that is a small field. The grass was only grown up maybe a foot because it was just getting into spring, and the snow had been gone maybe a month. We were just goofing off out back, and he was trying to spook my sister and me that he saw a Bigfoot out back in the field. He said his mom saw it and had this whole elaborate story about how it was just chilling on his garden bench in his yard. After a while, he brought us down into the yard, and it was really dark by this time, to show us where he had seen it and to sit on the bench and reenact the way this Bigfoot creature was sitting on this bench. We get down there, and he is showing us, then we start to hear movement in the grass a little ways out. We were a little spooked because he was trying to scare us with the Bigfoot thing, but we all decided it was probably his cat Kit, so we started calling to the cat, and the movement stopped. We brushed it off and went back up onto the back deck, and there is his cat at the back sliding door, just sitting there watching us. I got a little nervous, but they just laughed it off and said it was probably the neighbor's cat, which would explain why it didn't come over to us. We sat and chatted for a bit, then my sister and I decided we were going to go home because it was getting really late, and we didn't want to get in trouble. Just as we were getting up from the patio chairs, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye at the grass line near a skinny tree. I froze, seeing as I was already paranoid, and I got their attention. At first, they didn't see it until it moved, and you could see the gleam off its eyes from the deck light. At first, my sister thought it was a cat or a raccoon or something ducking in the grass, but as we all moved more to pick up and go inside, it moved slowly along the grass line. I hurried them to look, and there was another one coming out from behind another group of trees. And the one in the foreground of the grass, you could tell it wasn't a cat. It was hunched down and didn't have cat-like ears or a tail. It did have a tail, though, and it was thin. This thing was the size of a cat but looked more like a reptile, but not really reptilian either. It's really hard to explain. The closest photo I have ever seen is this one where there was a couple, I think in a wedding photo, under a tree, and the demon was in the tree. It actually reminds me of the popular Jersey Devil photo, but not really, since mine didn't have ears or wings. My name is Jessica, I'm a 34-year-old woman from Ohio. I have 3 kids, 2 boys, and a girl, as well as a dog and a husband. We've been married for 12 years. I work as a receptionist at a dental office. I consider myself pretty average, with nothing extraordinary about me, except for the story I'm about to tell you. It all happened in Ohio, close to Germantown but not in Germantown. It was dusk on September 20, 2003. I was coming home from visiting my parents. My dad had a near miss with some medical issues, and 2 weeks prior, he had surgery. Visiting them daily was something I was doing at that point. Back then, I didn't have any kids yet, and I was just starting to date my now husband. I was about 30 minutes away from home on this back road when it happened. The road was curvy, and since it was starting to get dark, I was going slower than usual. The sun was glaring in my eyes, and I was looking for my sunglasses right before it happened. As I was looking for my sunglasses, I noticed a big mess on the shoulder of the road. Initially, I thought it was just a bush, but as I got closer, I realized it was an animal. At first glance, it looked like a bear due to its thick and shaggy coat. We don't have many bears in Ohio, but there are a few small populations in our state. I was excited at the thought of seeing a bear in the wild, but as I focused more, I realized it wasn't a bear. It was crouched down in an unusual way, almost human-like. When it looked up at me, I saw its canine features, a long muzzle, big pointy ears, and reflective eyes. The creature snarled, revealing its giant teeth. It had a long bushy tail, and despite sitting differently from animals, it had a human quality about it. Suddenly, it stood up on two legs, towering over me at least 8 feet tall. It had muscles upon muscles, long arms with clawed hands, and dark, shaggy hair. The creature's stance reminded me of how canines stand, but it looked more human than any animal should. It pivoted on 1 foot, grabbed a mangled deer, and casually walked off into the woods. I was terrified, shivering, and unable to move. It was like staring at an honest-to-God werewolf. When I got back to my parents' house, I was speechless and visibly scared. I babbled about seeing a werewolf, and even though my parents couldn't make sense of everything, they knew I was genuinely frightened. They later mentioned strange howling noises they sometimes hear around the property, like something out of this world. To this day, I avoid driving down that road unless it's in broad daylight. I've never seen that creature again, but the encounter left me hyper aware of my surroundings, especially near that road. I never want to experience something like that again, but I also seek closure and understanding of what I saw that day. Thank you for listening and providing a platform for sharing these stories. It's a reminder that sometimes, the unexpected and inexplicable can happen, even to ordinary people like me. I had just recently got back from a camping trip with my girlfriend earlier this week near the small town of Rimforest, California, just a few miles from Lake Arrowhead. It was my girlfriend's first camping experience ever, and it will certainly go down in the books as quite an experience, as this trip has prompted me to share with you guys our story. Now, I'm no expert camper, but I'd like to think that I've been on enough trips, perhaps the bare minimum, to at least somewhat not resemble an idiot out in the wild against the odds. I used to enjoy camping with my family back in my younger years, but in retrospect, all those trips were really tame compared to even the most mundane expeditions my friends back in grade school would embark on during summer vacation. Bug spray. Sunscreen. Hats and sunglasses. Campfires. Lanterns. Portable stoves and electric heaters. Sure, we had no RV or trailer, but we had all the inner workings to exist comfortably externally and all the makings of a grand old time. All that being said, I can tell you for a fact that a resurgence of overzealous nostalgic joy overcame me when my girlfriend asked if I wanted to go camping with her this week. But even with all my trips back in my youth, nothing prepared me for what I experienced in Rimforest, California. We left for our trip early at noon. A 2-day getaway, just my girlfriend, me, and our dog. I'd been needing a break from my everyday life, and she was all done with her finals. We had planned for our trip a week prior and had taken care of all the necessary shopping in true millennial fashion via the internet. Excited we were, as we made our steady climb in her Prius up the winding roads to Lake Arrowhead with enough vigor to rival even that of the little engine that could. Armed with one bar of signal, we reached the campground moments before our cell service gave in. We had stopped at an empty post at the entrance to the campground when we had noticed a peculiar sign on the service window, "Camp Hosts Watching Grounds." Without thinking much of it, we grab a few maps from the kiosk and proceed to let ourselves in. The place was real quaint. About 120 to 140 campsites and only 15 of them currently being rented. It was a little unexciting on the scenic side of things, but we couldn't complain. It was cheap and we were allowed to bring our dog. When we arrived at our site, we were pleased to see we at least had one neighbor to keep us company in the event of total isolation when night approaches, a middle-aged couple with an armada of big dogs. Not the mean, ferocious type, though I am a lover of all dogs, mind you, but the kind that would just give you that lackadaisical head tilt and pass only a complete, careless glance if you so happen to make eye contact with them. "What nice dogs they have," says my girlfriend. "And what a nice campground we chose. Save for the neighboring RV, it was just us and the wild, in the wild, and we couldn't have asked for anything more." After taking it all in, we hastily unloaded our car only to run into our first problem, setting up the tent. Now again, I like to think I'm not an idiot, as I guess I can say now the only camping I've done without my parents was Coachella 2015 and a wilderness sabbatical with some friends in the desert that same year, so I've at least set up two tents in my life. Nothing too intense that I can't handle, hey. The tent setup actually went off without a hitch. It was just one stake proved to be a little too hard to hammer. A half hour after pitching the tent, the final stake had uprooted itself from the ground, causing the wireframes to jolt. But with much deliberation and a little help from some all-natural paperweights provided to us by the great outdoors, we planted that sucker right back into the earth and it hasn't budged since. By this point, my girl decides it's high time we cook some lunch, and as we get to it, an old couple on a golf cart approaches the both of us. "Why, hello there," the elderly woman greets us. "Are you here with a reservation?" "As a matter of fact, we are," says my girl. "Since we spent quite a while pitching our tent, I decide to use the restroom. I figure my girlfriend would speak to them as she made our reservations, so I made a break for the restroom and came back just as the camp host was going over the last of the ground rules. What a cute dog you have, by the way. Be sure to keep it on a leash at all times." "Oh, she doesn't tend to get far away from me, she gets separation anxiety. It's just for safety," the elderly man finally speaks up, correcting his spectacles as he chuckles. "Wouldn't want her to get snatched up by something now, would ya?" he says with a smile. "We'll keep her leashed," I reply. Funny, I didn't think too much of that sign from the post at the entrance in the beginning. And a little funnier how all the previous no-sleep entries I've read in the past about forest rangers, goatmen, wendigos, and other strange happenings in the woods all caught up to me that moment. My girlfriend fancies the Twilight Zone, but one no-sleep story really did a number on her, so I know any mention of this sort would land me in the doghouse for sure. "That was pretty weird," my girl says under her breath, as the hosts were off in their golf cart. "What, the last thing they said?" "Yeah. Well, let's just keep her leashed and keep a close eye on her. Don't think about it too much, sugar. Let's go make lunch." The trip was panning out to be quite lovely. We made some spaghetti in my mom's slow cooker while snacking on chips as we waited for our lunch to get ready. We drank a little to lift our spirits and smoked a ton to ease the nerves. It goes without saying that I'd certainly revisit Rimforest quite soon, but in the corners of my mind once I got home, as this was more than what we expected. Just a relaxing time up in the woods with my girl. After we ate, we decided to take our dog for a walk around the campground. It was 6 p.m. and since all we did was set up camp and eat, we figured that this would be our hike for the evening. It was starting to get a little colder, so we decided on our hike, we'd head to the groundkeeper's post to buy some firewood so we could get our campfire started. As we made our way up the paths of the empty campground, we came to find the groundkeeper's post deserted. "Anyone here?" I asked, knocking on their door. It dawned on me that the old couple were the only two people running this whole place, and when I remembered the sign that greeted us at the entrance, I came to the conclusion that perhaps they're still making their rounds through the entire place. We headed back to our campsite with our blankets in mind as the temperature started to lower at a rapid rate. We agreed upon the idea of waiting at the campsite to hopefully catch the elder couple on their way back up to their lodge. 30 minutes pass and no sign of anybody. The couple next to us has been in their RV all day, and with the temperature dropping, we knew there'd be no sign of seeing them come out anytime soon. An hour passes and still nobody. "Think we should wait a little while longer, honey?" my girlfriend asks me. "I dunno, babe. I think we should probably wait in the tent." The sun had set and we were all shivering at this point, dog included. If we heard their golf cart, We could just get out of the tent and get their attention, so we decided to get in the tent. We grabbed a couple things from the car, since at this point, we realized we wouldn't be leaving the tent anymore in the evening as it was blistering cold outside. We changed into our PJs and mummified ourselves with our sheets as we made a few sandwiches to snack on. We waited in the warmth. Nothing but the sounds of nature. "Let's just go to sleep," I say. No point now to wait since it's dark outside and the weather was uninviting. "Think we should maybe leave tomorrow?" I can hear the reluctance as she asked. "Hey, I had a great time, baby, even if we don't stay the planned 2 days." I kiss her on the forehead and we lulled off to sleep. The night was peaceful. We had only the wilderness to score the rest of this evening's motion picture, so sleep only came right after getting accustomed to the nighttime corral of the critters. Though my girlfriend was next to me, I was alone in a battle of wits against myself as I shoved back any irrational fear that came to mind. When you're thrown into a scenario you've once read about, you can't help but assume the worst. It took a lot of tiny reminders to keep myself in check. I've been camping before, so this isn't anything new to expect. I kept thinking back to my desert trip last year and how that was an even scarier scenario, with real things to fear. There aren't any rattlesnakes here in the woods. No scorpions or any weird poisonous insects of the sort either. What do I know though? I'm no camper. Fact of the matter is, even being as inexperienced as I am with the outdoors, I know to respect the wilderness and to leave them be in the event that I ever encounter anything. After all, nature's got a whole arsenal of things that can kill you if you don't know any better. As I was pushing all those fears back to from where they came, I was startled by a scratching noise I heard against the tent's nylon. I gripped my girlfriend's shoulder, scared out of my wits, but, thankfully, it was just our dog. "She needs to pee," my girlfriend mutters, face deep in her pillow. I tell her to go back to sleep and that I'll take the dog out. I shuffle out of the seats and scramble to find the zipper of the tent door. In a daze, I open the tent door all the way before even thinking that I would need any light. Darkness. Complete utter darkness. I snapped out of my hypnosis cast on me by the darkness when I remembered my duty. I gotta step outside to let the dog pee. I remembered the lantern and armed myself with a sense of security before leashing up the dog and setting foot into the dark. "You've done shit like this before, it's no big deal." Over and over again in my head. We didn't wander too far from the tent, but each step I took would have been engulfed in total blackness had it not been for the light. Once she was done, we booked it straight for the tent. I woke my girlfriend on my way in and she ushered me to return to our huddle. Scary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
"Get out there," I say in her ear. She pulls my arm over her being and holds it to her chest. "You're here now," she whispers, and with that, we dozed back off. The night progressed. My girlfriend was fast asleep and again, I was left alone to my thoughts. I began to notice though that this time around, the evening chatter of the wild was nowhere to be heard. Only the occasional gust of wind would greet us with the sound of leaves among other things brushing up against our tent. It was starting to feel eerie. I couldn't help but think about how nice our neighbors must have it. Nice and warm in their RV, with actual, rigid walls around them to keep them safe from the outside. I don't think I'd ever buy an RV. I'll probably eat those words later in my life, but for right now, camping in a trailer or RV isn't really camping in my mind's eye. But then again, How many inches of separation between them and the wild does one constitute that theirs are too thick to be considered camping? Like I said, it was just me and my mind going back and forth with each other with each and every thought furthering myself from slumber. I wasn't having a miserable time, no, I was just psyching myself out. After all, I shouldn't have anything to be afraid of as I've got my girlfriend with me in our tent away from the wild. If it's one thing, it's much more dangerous in my head than it is in this tent here with what brings me the most comfort. But just as I was beginning to calm down, my ears did me the disservice of picking up something that at that present moment I didn't wish to hear. A twig snapped somewhere in the distance. All right. This is it. The moment your entire pristine camping career has been waiting for. I would have easily dismissed it as the wilderness around us and go back to not caring had the rest of the forest sounds been present, but with how silent it's been, I couldn't help but hone in on where that snap came from. I knew my mind would eat this shit up. More fodder for it to process into another worst case scenario that I'll have the unpleasure of thinking about in no time. Even the wind quieted down as I was focusing my hearing to the outside. The snap wasn't too close to our sight, but what had me in anticipation was what will I hear next and where? While honing in on the silence, my ears pick up another noise. A footstep. I discerned it to be a footstep by the sound the earth made from below, a trudgy, mulchy, heavy-sounding foot against the soft earth surrounding our campsite. It wasn't a thud or a thump, but a calculated footstep as if it were trying to be inaudible. I heard another one. I was trying to decipher the footfall of what was coming to our tent to hear if it belonged to an animal or a human. It was moving at such an uneven pace, but I was still able to clearly hear step after step, closer and closer. It was headed to our tent. My arm tightened around my girlfriend as the two of us were huddled together. I couldn't tell if she was still sleeping, but as the footsteps continued, that question was answered as I felt my girlfriend's grip on my arm tighten as well. Did you hear that? I muttered the quietest yes I could. Awake and alert, we began listening together in fear of what's to come next. My mind couldn't stop racing. There were brushes against the tent that only heightened the fear we were feeling. Panicked, my girlfriend says to breathe with our mouths in a yelling yet whispering fashion. I was thinking about the sign that we saw at the entrance of the camp. I was thinking about the last thing the old man said about keeping our dog on a leash. I couldn't help but actually feel that there was something out there. Then it happened. From the corner where our heads were resting, the fiberglass wireframe began to shake violently as if it were being strummed like a guitar. I couldn't tell what was louder at this point. The metallic vibration of the wireframe reverberating or the thump of my heart, beating sporadically in my chest echoing all the way up into my ears. We were all huddled together by now. I held onto my girlfriend while she cuddled our dog. We were holding on for dear life. I kept saying to my girlfriend over and over that the noise was just our tent. We spent a good while hammering that last stake in. It must have untimely uprooted itself and the release of tension was causing our tent to shake. It took all my being to calm my girlfriend down. My own fears just weren't important anymore. We'll go home in the morning, baby. I'm right here, hon. It's all over now. Day broke. It was about 7 a.m. when we woke up. It took a while to make any sense of what happened last night, but we decided to pack up camp and head back home without thinking much of it. Sorry we're leaving early, baby, my girlfriend tells me. Babe, I had a wonderful time with you up here in the woods. I'm sorry your first ever experience was marred by what happened last night. It's okay. Oh my goodness, it really is. I still had a lot of fun. I'm really glad you didn't think this trip ended in failure. I just got so scared. And it happens, love. I was afraid that if this trip did go well, you'd never want to go again. I'd like to go camping with you again. I had fun. And we did have fun. So, there's my camping story, everyone. I know. As I'm going over it one last time before submitting, I can see how much of an allegory my story is in comparison to all the more interesting ones I've read in the past that always give me the creeps. Not much happened. No accounts of skinwalkers or any random flights of staircases out in the woods. But what'll always have to give me the creeps that I'll keep in the back of my mind is that when I took down our tent that morning, all the stakes were still firmly planted into the ground. While camping in the Cascade Mountains in the summer of 2016 here in Oregon, I woke up in the middle of the night with nature calling. I rolled out of the tent with my headlamp on, realizing I should probably grab my handgun just in case of cougars, bears, or even wendigos. Oh my! Ducking back into the tent, I grabbed my gun and suddenly heard breathing to my left, causing my stomach to jump into my throat. I spun around towards the source of the breathing, and my headlamp landed directly on a grungy, dirt-caked dude standing at the perimeter of my camp. I shouted, "Jesus freaking Christ on a bike." Yes, nature went from calling to screaming. The poor guy was equally horrified upon seeing a 6 foot 5 inches, 250-pound man with a Glock 21 in one hand and urinating while blinding him with a headlamp. It turned out that he had been lost in the forest for 3 days after crashing his mountain bike and falling off the trail. He was dehydrated and hungry, and he was just so relieved to find someone that he didn't even consider how creepy his approach might seem. We shared some food, packed up our camp, and I drove him 2 hours to the nearest town, Sisters, Oregon. The police got in contact with his girlfriend and let her know he was okay. She arrived an hour later, and they thanked me by buying me breakfast. All ended well. The moral of the story? Always pack extra pants and underwear when venturing into the wild. I was camping in Montana in a fairly secluded area with a female friend, I'm also a girl, and my dog. At the dead end of a road was 4 campsites by a lake. The first night it was us and a family there, and the second night the family had left, and so it was just me and my friend. Important to know, on the far side of the lake there were some houses, but they were too far for us to really hear or be bothered by. Anyway, it's fairly late, so we head to bed. My friend is dead asleep and I'm trying to fall asleep when I hear the sound of a sputtering, dinky little motorboat coming closer. Kind of weird, but whatever. It comes closer, and closer, and then I hear it just kind of hovering right at the edge of our side of the lake. Then I hear a creepy old man's voice. "Hey girls, come in my boat, we can go party at my house across the lake." WTF. I'm freaking out and completely freeze and stop breathing. I try and nudge my friend awake, but she's knocked out. He tries calling out "hey girls" a few more times and we're just quiet. I guess upset at getting no response, he shines a huge light right at our tent and starts yelling, "I know you girls are in there. Come on, we're going to have so much fun at my house, just you wait and see." I'm pissing myself, I have a knife that I'm gripping super hard and trying to come up with a plan if he actually comes up. My dog is protective but also quiet, so at this point he's just alert and waiting. He tried calling us out for a few more minutes, felt like hours to me. Then finally I guess he gave up and I heard the boat driving away. I stayed up the whole night convinced he would come back to murder us, and the next morning I told my friend what happened and we booked it out of there. Might have been some horny old perv, but it felt more sinister than that. Haven't been back to that spot since. Not as much creepy as it was scary at the time, but when I was 16 I was in a wilderness camp in between group homes. Long story short, I was a troubled youth. So we're all camping in the mountains of Utah, about 10 kids and 2 adults. Nothing fancy, just a sleeping bag and a basic tarp hanging above us. I'm lying awake staring at the sky between the trees and the kid next to me whispers that he sees something. I look, don't see it and go back to the stars. A moment later I heard something maybe 30 to 40 feet away near the remnants of our fire. I look over and there are 6 or 7 coyotes just walking around. They were in our campsite for a while walking around sniffing stuff, circling the area and scaring the shit out of a bunch of us city kids. The creepy part is that for the most part you could just see their eyes, and I still remember thinking, if I can see his eyes, that means he's looking right at me. 15 years later and I still thoroughly enjoy camping, and I still can't remember how that coyote night ended. I guess I said F it and just fell asleep. Late fall. 17 years old, camping in a dry creek bed at the base of a large ridge on a friend's property. About 6 to 7 of us around a campfire joking and telling stories. Then, about 10 to 15 yards behind my left shoulder, 7 o'clock, comes this hair-raising scream. It was so loud and so unexpected, and lasted about 15 to 20 full seconds. The only way I could describe it was a woman's scream while being murdered, or a banshee. I sat up, and didn't dare move, while my friends were staring at me waiting for whatever it was to snatch me back into the darkness. Never found out what it was, although I've heard wild cats scream in the past, so that's probably what it was. Although, it was so clear and distinct, without the scratchiness and the voice that cats have. I hiked the ridge later that winter and remember sitting down on a log to rest. I could hear heavy footsteps walking through the leaves, deliberate, but I never could see what it was. I just backed out slowly with knife in hand, thinking it was a mountain lion. As kids, us four brothers, we were camping at remote site by the lake in Ellsworth, Michigan. Outside, the kerosene lantern hanging in a tree lit up the side of our tent. During one of the ghost stories, a shadow of a man holding an axe was cast upon the outside of the tent. We laughed and screamed, and the shadow soon walked away towards the lake, not to the Ford Galaxy station wagon where we could hear our dear old dad snoring. 50 years later, we still talk about that spooky night. Camping in British Columbia, Canada with my girlfriend at the time. We are at a provincial campground, so other campsites are in the vicinity. As I'm close to falling asleep, I hear footsteps near my tent. Nothing to be immediately alarmed about, could easily be a nearby camper, but it was around 2 a.m. so late enough that it alerts my senses. Then I faintly hear what I believe to be my car door lifting, along with my heart rate. I have hatchet and flashlight beside the bed, but never realized how vulnerable you are when trying to get out of a small tent until that moment. In my best effort, I unzip quickly and spring up, hatchet in hand, looking 360 around tent with the beam of the flashlight. Nothing. The woods get really creepy when you're sure something is hiding from you. I'm so spooked we pack up the tent right then and there in the middle of the night, simply folding it up, wet, of course, and shoving it in the trunk. We drive home and the next day get a call from the campsite host. Turns out a vehicle was stolen that night, so what I thought I heard was all validated. There must have been someone hiding behind a tree when I popped out, there was nowhere else to hide. The new girlfriend thinks I'm crazy with my camping pre-sleep preparations. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was camping with a close friend. We were on a really large chunk of private property behind some industrial buildings that were up against a main road in SoCal. The land had to have been a couple hundred acres big, and it was known to have abandoned hobo camps here and there, being we used to airsoft down there as kids. Yes, I know this isn't really considered camping, but at the time to a couple of 18-year-olds it was perfect. Anyways, we were sitting around the fire that night laughing, making s'mores, chatting it up, when directly behind me, had to have been what sounded like 20 yards behind me, I hear footsteps crunching around in the bushes at a very slow, stalky kind of pace. All at once we went dead silent, not making a move, being that our hearts jumped into our throats. We've never heard or seen someone else out there before. I had thoughts racing through my head like, those aren't animal-sounding footsteps, Who or why would someone be creeping around our campsite? They must know we can hear them. As these thoughts and many others are racing through my mind, the footsteps are getting closer. We are losing our minds, while being dead quiet, my heart is about to explode out of my chest. My friend and I start backing up in the opposite direction slowly and quietly while clenching onto whatever defensive item we had on us at the time. We backed up and hid ourselves inside of a hollow bush dead quiet for what felt like 20 or 30 minutes just listening. We didn't hear a thing after about 5 or 10 of those minutes. Yet I was still absolutely scared, thinking that someone was waiting for us to get comfortable or was hoping we'd leave. I had no clue. After those 20 or 30 minutes were up, the voice of reason popped into my head, thinking we're being ridiculous. My friend and I agreed to just walk back up to the campsite and just pretend nothing happened, and if something was going to happen, we'd just figure out a way to deal with it in a way that wasn't hiding in a bush for a half hour. We never did find out what on earth that noise was, or where it came from. It could have been a hobo who stumbled upon our campsite with curiosity. It could have been something or someone else, or it could have been our minds playing tricks on us. Who knows, but what I do know was in that moment I was absolutely terrified. Walking back to the main camp with a few friends and scouts. We were like 15 and really liked horror movies, by the way. Anywho, we were about 10 more minutes to camp on a trail in the middle of the woods nearly alone when we heard a chainsaw being revved up. We ran faster than the speed of light. Well, until I did the typical horror movie thing and tripped and twisted my ankle, but unlike those dolts, I got up and limped as fast as I could. Everyone was fine. Had no idea where this dude could have been. Mind you, there were no parents nor scoutmasters or anybody for that matter. Most everyone had gone home that Sunday morning. I would suspect someone had stayed behind just to scare the living jeebus of suburbia out of us, but no one else was at the camp all night or in the morning. Just the four of us. Last summer, my dad, my young son, and I went up to the local campgrounds and paid for 3 nights. Maybe a 30 minutes after the sun set, my dad and I were sitting by the fire about to have a few beers, and my son was in the tent watching his portable DVD player. I hear leaves crunching coming up towards us, but just assume it's a raccoon or a possum. My dad jumps up yelling, "Get out of here, bear! Get out of here! Get!" There's a smallish black bear 2 feet away from the open tent, walking towards it. We were yelling, clapping our hands. I was smacking a hiking stick on the ground as hard as I could. It wasn't afraid of us at all. It had almost no reaction to us. Then it started to slowly walk away. So we're freaked out after that, and we're just sitting there for 30 minutes scanning the area with our flashlights, overreacting to every twig snap and leaf crunch. Plenty of deer and some raccoons out there. So I'm like, Terese, plenty of other campsites for this bear to check out. We're fine, it's not gonna come back. Well, as soon as I say that, we see it walking from behind my dad's truck. IT had 3 cubs with IT. We didn't know much about black bears at the time, aside from the common misinformation that they were extremely aggressive if their cubs were around. After more yelling and stick slamming, we scare the bear away again, and she sends her cubs up a tree at the site across from ours and disappears into the woods. At this point, we're just like, F it, we're going home and we'll come back for our stuff tomorrow. We get in the truck and leave. We get to the exit road and the gate is up and padlocked, so we have no choice but to spend the night. We head back to camp, get my son in the tent, zip it up, and we're just sitting there shining our lights around, all paranoid. Guess who shows up? The mama bear comes back and is under the tree her cubs are in. She's getting pissed at us shining our lights at her, and she's snorting and clapping her jaws every time we do. We don't want to take our eyes off her, you know? Eventually she makes a noise and her 3 cubs climb down, and they all scurried away together. We were paranoid as F the next few hours, but finally tried to get some sleep. As soon as we dozed off, she was back, messing around my dad's truck. We scared her off again, and that was the last we saw of her. We packed up and went home before sunset the next day. We told a ranger what happened and he said some dumbass left a cooler full of meat out and the bear got it just a few nights before we arrived, so that's why it kept coming into our campsite. I legit had PTSD for a few nights after Lamau. I'd be laying in my safe warm bed and be way too alert and jumpy to every little noise, lol. Found a room for rent, paid the deposit because the renter said some girl was about to come back and put the money down if I didn't first. He seemed okay, so I got the money, handed it over, and signed the lease. I got a call 2 days before moving in from him. He said he'd been arrested and wouldn't be there to let me in. I didn't have a key yet. But I had to move out, so he offered me the option of giving me my money back and searching for a new apartment 2 days before I had to move. I showed up at his place to get the deposit. He wasn't there. I called and his number had been disconnected. I found a subletter on Craigslist the next day, thankfully, saw the place, and found the room I was moving into was sopping wet. He said he'd just had it shampooed so it'd be dry in 24 hours. 24 hours later, the place was still wet and reeked of mildew. I couldn't move my stuff into the room, but I had to move out of my old place. So, I gave him the deposit and moved in. I slept on the couch that night, went to work, and found he'd spent my deposit on electronics. Turns out, he was behind payments from his landlord and was about to be evicted. And the floor was still wet approximately 48 hours later. I demanded my money back since the landlord was kicking him out. Obviously, he didn't have it. So, a friend of mine came to the rescue, put me up in his place for a month free of charge while I searched. I found a third place. It was fine for the time being. The roommates were nice. The room sucked. Hi all, been a lurker for a while. I love this subreddit and I've got an experience to post that my boyfriend and I went through just a few days ago. This is long, but here goes. I'm still scared. We recently moved to Salem, Massachusetts a couple of weeks ago and had a place set up with roommates, but it fell through at the last minute and we were left stranded with nowhere to go for the night. We walked to a nearby town to try and find a place to sleep for the night until we were able to figure things out. Boyfriend is working and I'm still looking for a job and have several interviews next week. Anyways, to the story. So after having nowhere to go and being desperate, it's also around 3 a.m. So my boyfriend posts a Craigslist ad reaching out for help. I know Craigslist is risky and this story is why. Someone responded to the ad and offered us a place and we found our way to the address. When we got there, an old disheveled and very dirty looking man was at this garage on a big hill littered with old camper trailers and abandoned vehicles. It looked like a literal junkyard. We introduce ourselves and he tells us he's got a place in this shack in an attic. My boyfriend was sketched out and so was I. But we were so exhausted from walking all night that we really needed sleep, so we took it. The attic was filthy and cold, 40 degrees or less, and there was a dirty mattress and some blankets. He said he took in a junky couple but they left without notice months ago. Really sketchy, but I needed to sleep. He let us sleep for the day and when we woke up, we decided to go to a nearby McDonald's to charge our phones and see if any friends answered if we could stay with them temporarily. The guy Richard starts texting my phone and leaving me voicemails saying how we don't trust him and why did we leave. So I sent a text back saying we were charging our phones and we'd be back to talk to him. After that he sent me a text saying in all caps, "I guess you don't trust me, bye." I'm like, WTF? So I call him and explain the situation and he starts saying how we need to come back so he can talk to us about the place. We come back and he's very visibly drunk. He starts rambling on about how he's not a child molester and how we're stupid for going to McDonald's to charge our phones and we're stupid for buying food at McDonald's because he has food for us. I wanted to leave then but I don't know anyone here, my boyfriend does. But his friends all live with their parents and everyone said no to us staying with them. So, boyfriend goes to the store to get smokes and I stayed behind to help creepy Richard with some stuff in the yard. He starts almost interrogating me, asking would I die for boyfriend, do I trust him, how much do I love him? I tell him yes, I trust him and I love him. He tells me I'm stupid and that he's just gonna leave me and it won't work out. We've been together 3 years and are very close. He would never leave me because we're very loyal to each other. Richard then stands up and starts kind of darting around back and forth around me, like he's staring at me and around me. Kind of like he's trying to read me. I asked him what he was doing because it made me uncomfortable and he shook his head as if coming out of a trance and apologized. Then he said I was stupid for trusting my boyfriend and he then says again how he's not a child molester. No one even said anything remotely relevant to this, so it was suspicious that he kept trying to stress to us he wasn't a molester. Then he tells me that he's a mean person and has been accused of killing and raping people, but that he's not a rapist but he's killed someone. I start panicking and boyfriend returns. We are alone in the attic and I tell him what happened with Richard and he's panicked and we're not sure what to do because no one can take us in and we didn't have enough money for a motel until a few days later when he got paid. So we try to stick it out a bit and decide if Richard tries something we can protect ourselves. Next day, boyfriend goes to work and I'm there alone and scared. I have my phone and am able to talk to boyfriend while he's at work. Richard keeps finding excuses to come up to the attic and talk to me. He asks me if I want to take a shower at some random guy's house I don't know. I said no and made up an excuse about not wanting to get sick with wet hair. He asks again and again trying to convince me and I said no, I'm not leaving without boyfriend. He finally leaves me alone about it but still keeps finding excuses to come talk to me. Boyfriend finally comes back after work and I'm really panicked and crying and begging to leave. We figure something out and are able to get to his mom's. That night Richard comes back up to the attic saying he's gotta talk to boyfriend and I go with him into his camper trailer with boyfriend. There's a computer monitor hooked up to a TV. With a naked woman, there's stacks of adult pornography DVDs all over. The place reeks of a horrid smell we can't describe. I wanted to leave right then. Finally, we attempt to sleep one more night there and around 4 a.m. in the shack below us, we hear lots of banging and hammering and all kinds of loud noises. We're both panicked and stay quiet since he's right below us. We hear him talking to himself in full conversation as if someone was around. No, he wasn't on his phone. After about an hour he comes up there and starts asking boyfriend to help him with some heavy loading of junk into a truck. Boyfriend says no and explains we're leaving and we have to be somewhere to catch the train at a specific time that morning. Richard gets visibly irritated and tries to keep us there again. Finally, we're able to leave. Boyfriend's mom gets us and I start crying and begging to please not take us back there. She's confused because she doesn't know what's happened because boyfriend was scared to tell her. Finally, we tell her the whole story and she's concerned and empathetic with us. She says she's going to make sure we don't go back. This is now one day later I'm writing this, and we've found a friend who's letting us crash for a few weeks until we save up some paychecks. I was looking on Craigslist to see about apartment rentals and I see Richard's ads about needing a female roommate and wants pictures and such. I knew it was him because he said he was moving to Maine soon and he told us a lot about his plan to move to Maine. There's currently about 8 ads on Craigslist, all from him looking for a female roommate in Salem, and he's 53 years old, named Richard, and moving to Maine. This scared me even more because I don't know if he's trying to lure in females or not. If boyfriend never showed up from work, I know I'd probably be dead now. I got horrible vibes from the man and honestly thought we'd die there. I have his phone number and wanted to see if I could find his full name to do an internet arrest search. I was unable to get results without paying and I can't afford that. I'm debating placing an anonymous call to the cops about his address and what he's saying about he killed someone and everyone says he's a molester. I never want to see that place again.